Ever felt like you're surrounded by phonies? Like you're the only one who sees through the fakeness of the world? That's exactly how Holden Caulfield feels as he wanders through New York City after being expelled from yet another prep school. His voice, raw, cynical, yet achingly vulnerable, has spoken to generations of readers who recognize their own alienation in his. "If you really want to hear about it," he begins, and suddenly we're pulled into the mind of a troubled teenager trying to make sense of a world that seems determined to crush everything genuine and pure. His three-day odyssey isn't just a physical journey, it's a desperate search for authenticity in a society he perceives as fundamentally dishonest. Holden's story begins at Pensy Prep, where he's flunked 4 out of 5 subjects. Standing alone on Thompson Hill instead of joining the football crowd, he establishes himself as an outsider. Earlier, he'd left the fencing team's equipment on the subway, getting himself ostracized. His elderly history teacher, Mr. Spencer, warns him, "I have a feeling that you're riding for some kind of terrible fall." What defines Holden is his hypersensitivity to phoniness. He can't stand Spencer's sincere lecture, the headmaster who only charms wealthy parents, or the alumnus who named a dormitory after himself. Yet amid these judgments, Holden admits, "I'm the most terrific liar you ever saw in your life," revealing his own struggle with authenticity. When his roommate mentions dating Jane Gallagher, a girl Holden cares about, his anxiety spikes. He remembers intimate details about Jane, how she kept her kings in the back row during checkers and practiced ballet on the porch. Though repeatedly saying he should go say hello, he never does. This pattern of craving connection while sabotaging opportunities becomes his defining characteristic. After fighting with Stradlater, Holden impulsively leaves Pensy, shouting, "Sleep tight, you morons!" On the train to New York, he meets a classmate's mother and introduces himself as Rudolf Schmidt, inventing flattering stories about her son, revealing his hypocrisy of despising phoniness while readily lying himself. In New York, Holden checks into the seedy Edmont Hotel, immediately confronted with adult sexuality that both intrigues and repels him. His attempts at connection grow desperate, calling Faith Cavendish, a woman of questionable reputation, dancing with celebrity-obsessed tourists, and visiting Ernie's jazz club, only to flee when his brother's ex-girlfriend approaches. His most troubling attempt occurs when he accepts the elevator operator's offer to send a prostitute to his room. When Sonny arrives, surprisingly young, possibly Holden's own age, he tries to engage her in conversation rather than sex. The encounter turns threatening when she returns with Maurice, demanding more money. When Holden refuses, Maurice punches him, leaving him fantasizing about movie-style revenge while acknowledging how absurd such fantasies are. Wandering through Central Park, Holden fixates on the ducks in the lagoon, repeatedly asking where they go when the water freezes, revealing his anxiety about where vulnerable beings find refuge in harsh times. Near the Museum of Natural History, he contemplates how exhibits remain unchanged while visitors inevitably change. "The only thing that would be different would be you," he observes, capturing his struggle with maturation. He avoids entering, knowing these unchanged childhood artifacts would make his own transformation too apparent. During a date with Sally Hayes, Holden impulsively suggests they run away to cabin camps. When she points out how unrealistic this is, he snaps, "You give me a royal pain in the ass." His escape fantasy represents his desperate desire to halt time and avoid the demands of growing up. As Holden deteriorates, he visits Mr. Antolini, a former English teacher who offers shelter and advice. "I have a feeling that you're riding for some kind of a terrible fall," Antolini warns, sharing, "The mark of the immature man is that he wants to die nobly for a cause, while the mark of the mature man is that he wants to live humbly for one." The encounter sours when Holden wakes to find Mr. Antolini patting his head, a gesture he interprets as perverty, causing him to flee. This represents the unpredictability of the adult world, where trusted figures suddenly seem threatening. At his emotional lowest point, Holden reveals to Phoebe his defining fantasy. I keep picturing all these little kids playing in this big field of rye. I have to catch everybody if they start to go over the cliff. I'd just be the catcher in the rye. This image reveals Holden's core desire, not to avoid his own maturation, but to protect others from falling into adulthood, preserving innocence in a corrupting world. The climax occurs when Holden sneaks home to see 10-year-old Phoebe. Unlike others, she sees through his defenses, challenging him. You don't like anything that's happening. When Holden can only name his deceased brother Allie and talking with Phoebe as things he likes, she forces him to confront his disengagement from life. After deciding to run away, Holden meets Phoebe to say goodbye, but she arrives with a suitcase, determined to join him. Seeing his innocent sister willing to sacrifice her stability breaks through his self-absorption. He realizes he cannot protect innocence by corrupting it. The novel reaches its emotional resolution at the Central Park Carousel. Watching Phoebe riding in circles, reaching for the gold ring, Holden reflects. The thing with kids is, if they want to grab for the gold ring, you have to let them do it and not say anything. If they fall off, they fall off. This insight marks his acceptance that growth requires risk and pain. As Phoebe circles on the carousel, Holden experiences unexpected joy. I felt so damn happy all of a sudden, the way old Phoebe kept going around and around. This moment suggests healing through acceptance rather than resistance. The novel ends with Holden in some kind of institution, possibly a mental hospital, where he's receiving treatment. He reveals little about what happened after the carousel scene, saying only that he got sick and will attend a new school in the fall. His final reflections blend cynicism with unexpected tenderness. I sort of miss everybody I told about, he admits, even characters he previously despised. The novel's famous final line, "Don't ever tell anybody anything. If you do, you start missing everybody," captures his fundamental paradox. Telling his story creates connections that matter to him, even as he warns against them. The Catcher in the Rye endures through Holden's distinctive voice, with its repetitions, casual profanity, and shifts between cynicism and vulnerability. The novel concludes not with dramatic transformation, but with a subtle shift in perspective, an acknowledgement that connection might be preferable to isolation. This ambiguous ending suggests adulthood is a continuous negotiation between ideals and reality, between authenticity and human connection.